Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
Having casual sex in New York City just got easier. In the famous words of a wise philosopher, one must respect the artistry. And what Beyoncé was doing was art. It's not any of those. The worst thing I can hear in the dining room, you say to me, is these four words. Turn on Fox News. Now I went from fun trolling to why I'm running through the reasons in my head why I hate the world so much. I talk about weed a lot. I'm an abrasive douchebag who sometimes finds himself at odds with people in power.
Dropping plates on your ass, biatch!
Don't you dare be sour!
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom!
Hence my self-loathing. It's called spade a spade. Kid's my age, and he's hanging out he's the type of guy to hang out at an eighth grade prom after party. You know? Trolling for snatch. Okay? And everyone just rolled their eyes, listened to this, like, what an obnoxious asshole this guy is. Yeah, I am an obnoxious asshole. I didn't grow up in Staten Island, okay? I didn't grow up in a place where people drive their parents' cars and, you know, they have their older brothers come down to fight for them and their older cousins. I'm not from there. That's not where I'm from.
If my ass occupies the space that I'm sitting in, my feet also occupy that space. I am a human being, and matter means that only one thing can occupy one space. No two things can occupy one space at the same time. I was in that space at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whenever they let us in. I was in that space immediately when they let us in. You weren't. Therefore, I was occupying that space. Okay, can everyone just chill out? Everyone just take a chill pill? Instead of tweeting things like, Harriet Tubman should be on the EBT card? Now, I'll admit, that's fucking hilarious, but at the same time, that's fucking racist.
You people really don't understand the ramifications of what you've done. Hey, yo, what is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I'm Jay Porks. With me, as always, on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular Nobody. Oh, boy. Despondence? That's a term. Depression? In a rut? I mean, that's the feeling I've had these past handful of days. Sickening. I feel sick. I mean, I don't know where to go with everything. I just don't know. I'm still on hashtag not my president. Not my president. Because he's not my president. I will never acknowledge that person as my leader, because there's no rightful way that should have ever happened. And you know what? I'm going to be sharing a lot of things from people on Facebook and people all over social media who I think are, you know, a little more educated than I am, who word things better than I am, because I'm a bit of a nutcase. I'm a bit of a Looney Tune. But like, when I see things, I'm just going to read my friend who I'm going to remain nameless, who is an attorney at law, and she's smart, but I'm not going to name her because of fear of people hearing this, but it's like, in the gist, this is a status she had. Public service announcement to everyone who voted for Trump. It's about to get real uncomfortable around here. You probably should unfriend me if you don't have the balls to hear what I have to say. Thanks to you, I now live in a country where I'm afraid for my child. You people who are more offended by protesting and burning the flag than people's lives. But you're not offended by a president who openly brags about sexually assaulting women, banning an entire group of people because of their religion or the color of their skin. Because of Trump, the most disgusting of you are emboldened. You now wear your racism, sexism, xenophobia, misogyny with pride instead of lurking in the shadows where you belong. If you voted for Trump, you played a part in creating a country where it's okay to make my son feel inferior, to attack him, to harm him. It's not okay. It will never be okay. I will burn this country to the fucking ground before I let that happen. And that was posted on Thursday, so I talked about that on Wednesday because I recorded on Wednesday. That's pretty much how I feel. I mean, I don't have kids. Listen, I don't have children. I don't have any kids. But it... Same thing with the podcast. It's about to get real uncomfortable around here. Because if you think for a second that this is okay, that there's no problem with this, then you're out of your mind. Because listen, politics is about agreeing and disagreeing with policies that people have. Right? Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent, whatever it is. Green Party, Tea Party, whatever you are. Elections are about agreeing or disagreeing with... not elections. Politics are about agreeing or disagreeing with policies that other people have in place. And if you disagree with them, so be it. You get to vote in 4 years again. This election wasn't about policies. This was about racism versus non-racism, and racism won. And that's something that can't be tolerated. And that's something that can't be accepted. And that's something that any of us can't be told to move on from. We have to mobilize. And destruction of anybody's property is not a ticket, is not the way to protest anything. The only thing that does is make you look ignorant and silly. That's all that does. It makes you look uneducated. It makes you look just like them. But peaceful protests in massive amounts of people, I'm for that. And I will be joining those things. They're right here in New York City, right in Midtown. I might find myself at one of these days. Maybe I get off work early. Maybe I get the day off. Something happens. I don't know. I gotta do something. Because that would serve two things. It would get me away from these people that actually think that Donald Trump is the answer to America, which is couldn't be further from the truth. And it would get me closer to people that understand that I'm with them and that I can let people know, people of color, people of minorities, LGBT people. I can let everybody know that I'm with them and that I'm sorry that this happened and that I can't let this go. It will never move on. Where's his birth certificate? Where was he born? In Kenya? I don't know. I've never seen Donald Trump's birth certificate. So let's see it. Let's see it. What? I mean, listen, guys. For 8 years we've been hearing this. For 8 years you have not listened to a word Barack Obama has said, and yet you have hated him. That's what it's been. And don't ever, ever try to say that that's not true. Because that is indeed true. You say you voted for Donald Trump because of policies. You say you voted for Donald Trump because you believe in his message. And you believe in what he told you. Well, guess what? We're a few days into this bullshit. Man's not even sworn in yet. And two of his policies, the wall and repealing the Affordable Care Act, both those things are gone. Both those things have been removed from the table. The wall is a fence. Because the wall was always going to be a fence. Because it was never going to be a wall. Because that's just ridiculous. I forgot. I think Bill Burr said it on Conan O'Brien's show on TBS. Bill Burr said it. The drive from California down the coast of Mexico to El Paso, Texas. It's like San Jose to El Paso or something. It takes like 2 days to do. How, you know how stupid a wall, how economically infeasible a wall would have been? Now it's going to be a fence being blocked by workers whose unions supported Donald Trump. All right. Duh, that makes a lot of sense. You'd think those people would volunteer to do that job. Yeah, let me shoot some Mexicans down. Let me shoot some Arabs. Fuck them brown people. That's what you people are saying. And meanwhile, Hillary also voted for a fence. Everyone's in favor of a fence. A fence is what it is. To divide countries. I'm sure there's a fence for Canada. So the wall's gone. Sorry, guys. And this guy was on 60 Minutes, and he said that he's keeping the Affordable Care Act. He's just going to tinker with it. What happened to repealing it? We're not repealing it now? So now he's a racist and a liar. And you people say that you're glad that he won because he's not a politician. Well, you know what? He ran on principles, and in a couple of days, he's already flipped back hard on both of those principles. He looks exactly like a politician to me. Drain the swamp, yet he's surrounding himself with swamp people like Rudy Giuliani, like Ben Carson. Are you joking? I got an article somewhere here. And it's an article from the Washington Post. The greatest trick Donald Trump pulled was convincing voters he'd be anti-establishment. Well, maybe not the greatest trick, but in a campaign full of cons, it has to rank close to the top. This was near the heart of Trump's appeal to the disaffected and disempowered. Send me to Washington, and that your establishment you've been hearing so much about, we'll blow it up and send it packing. Punch it right in the face, and when it's over, the government will finally be working for you again. And the people who voted for Trump bought it. After all, he's no politician, right? He's an outsider, a glass breaker, a guy who can cut out the bull and get things done, right? But the idea that he would do this was based on a profound misunderstanding of what the establishment actually is, and who Donald Trump actually is. Here's what a report of Trump's transition from Eric Lipton on the New York Times. President-elect Donald Trump, who campaigned against the corrupt power of special interests, is filling his transition team with some of the very sort of people he complained to have too much clout in Washington, corporate consultants and lobbyists. Mr. Trump was swept to power in large part by working white working class voters who responded to his vow to restore the voices of forgotten people, once drowned out by the big business in Wall Street. But in his transition to power, some of the most prominent voices will be those of advisors who come from the same industries in which they are being asked to help set the regulatory groundwork. An organizational chart of Trump's transition team shows it to be crawling with corporate lobbyists, representing such clients as Altria, Visa, Coca-Cola, General Electric, Verizon, HSBC, Pfizer, Dow Chemical, and Duke Energy, and K Street is positively salivating over the new opportunities they'll have to deliver goodies to their clients in the Trump era. Who could have possibly predicted such a thing? The answer is anyone who is paying attention. Look at the people Trump is considering for his cabinet, and you won't find any outside-the-box thinkers burning to work for the little guy. It's a collection of Republican politicians and corporate plutocrats. Not much different from who you'd find in any Republican administration. And it isn't just personnel. It's what are the priorities Trump and the Republican Congress are pursuing right out of the gate? There's the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, of course. Take that, establishment. 20 million people can say when they lose their health coverage. Which, by the way, he's not doing. Let me just pause. This article was before the 60 Minutes interview where he said he's not repealing it. Next on the list is the eternal Republican priority, cutting taxes. If you're waiting for the fat rebate from the government once the establishment has been sent packing, you're in for a shock. It won't actually be Trump's plan precisely that will pass Congress and he'll sign. It will be a combination of what he wanted and what congressional Republicans wanted. What the two share a driving principle in common, and you may want to sit down while I tell you this, while I tell you that helping regular folks is most definitely not it. No, their commitment is to be of service to the most oppressed and forgotten group of Americans, the wealthy. Trump's tax plan would give 47% of its benefits to the richest 1% of taxpayers. Paul Ryan's tax plan is even purer. It gives 76% of its cuts to the richest 1% of its first year, and by 2025, it would feed 99.6% of its benefits to the top 1%. Once that's accomplished, Trump and the Republicans plan to either gut or completely repeal the Dodd-Frank financial regulations, the greatest wish of Wall Street bankers. Can you feel the anti-establishment wind blowing? So what's going on here? Most plainly, the voters thinking that Trump would vanquish the establishment were just marks for a con, like those who lost their life savings at Trump University. But it was made possible by the vagueness of the idea of the establishment and some related ideas, and the way people could pour all their dissatisfaction into it and elect the guy promising to destroy it when he had no intention of doing so, doing anything of the sort. You see, in Washington, we think of the establishment as something specific to the city, people who hold certain kinds of institutional positions and certain kinds of ideas about what should be done. We tend to think that, say, internal arguments between factions of the Republican Party represent a genuine threat to the establishment. But for most voters, it's much bigger than that, and this is what Donald Trump recognized. By now, we should understand that what Trump is an ignorant buffoon in some ways and an outright moron in others. But he's also a savant of hatred and resentment. Not only identifies with the ugliest feelings that portions of the electorate have, that's the easy part. And all of his primary opponents knew equally well in what those feelings were. He just finds the right way to reach and goose them. And he grasped that people were ready to sign on with an attack on all sectors of established power, in Washington or anywhere else. That attack was politically potent because to those who heard it, it was pretty much more than politics. They didn't really care about whether the House majority whip was one guy or a different guy. What Trump tapped into was a sense of their powerlessness, that unseen forces are pulling the strings and manipulating the system for their own benefit. That system encompasses everything from politics to the economy, their local schools to culture. The system made that factory leave town. The system lets immigrants come in and speak a language other than English. Everywhere you look, you're being held down by the system. So when Trump complained that anything that didn't go his way meant that the system was rigged against him, they nodded in agreement and said, "Yep, it's rigged against me too." And of course, the horror of the establishment, both Democrat and Republican, and Trump only reinforced that belief once he's elected he'd change everything. Now, to be clear, the fact that in some ways hiring lobbyists, cutting taxes for the wealthy, gutting regulations, Trump is going to be little different from any other Republican president, doesn't mean that he isn't uniquely dangerous. He's reckless, impulsive, vindictive, hateful, and an authoritarian, and his presidency is going to be somewhere between disastrous and cataclysmic, likely in ways we can't even imagine yet. But one thing it will not be is a threat to the establishment, or the system, or whatever you want to call it. The wealthy and powerful will have more wealth and power when he's done, not less. There's a lot Trump will upend, but if you're the little guy who thinks Trump was going to upend things on your behalf in order to serve your interests, guess what? You got suckered. And that's from Paul Waldman. And that was published in the Washington Post. And that's just exactly what it is. For those people that think that Donald Trump came in to crush the establishment, you got another thing coming, folks. You don't understand the ramifications of what you've done. You don't, I mean, and listen, North Carolina has the KKK celebrating Trump's victory with a victory parade. The Ku Klux Klan couldn't be happier about presidential election of Donald Trump. To celebrate Trump's shock win over the Democratic rival Hillary Clinton, a chapter of America's most notorious hate group will hold a victory parade in North Carolina. A Trump spokeswoman on Friday said Mr. Trump and his team continue to disavow these groups and individuals that strongly condemn the message of hate. The Pelham, North Carolina-based local white knights of the Ku Klux Klan announced on its website that the parade will be held on December 3rd, although the exact location and the time was not posted. The group's website leads, Trump equals Trump Trump's erase united my people, along with a photo of Trump with an emblem around the image that reads President of the United States. The parade is being advertised as the Victory Cavalcade Klan Parade. That's VKKP for those keeping score at home, and I know you are. The homepage of the group also reads racial greetings from the loyal white knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Does that say racial, like meaning racial? I thought it said radical, but there's no D there. It's the New York Post. It may be a typo. The New York Post is full of idiots. Former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke called Trump presidency one of the most exciting nights of my life. This is a man who lynches black people for fun, by the way. Early Wednesday, Duke, an avowed white supremacist, credited his supporters for playing a role in Trump's accession to the White House. Make no mistake about it, our people played a huge role in electing Trump. Hashtag MAGA, Duke tweeted. Yeah, man, you're right. Your people did do a lot. They made this, listen, they made their voice heard. For those folks, I mean, listen, it might be a little bit of a wake-up call, but that's no silver lining. North Carolina was one of the key battleground states where Trump beat Hillary Clinton, helping secure his win. First of all, I mean, all this stuff, I mean, it's rigged anyway, right? Isn't it rigged? I thought it was rigged. Because if Hillary Clinton would have been the president right now, you people would have been telling me that it's rigged and that she bought the presidency and selected, not elected. So don't tell me. Don't come over here with that bullshit that I should just, you know, take it. Because I'm not. That's not something that I'm going to do. And like, yeah, usually, if you're not sure about policies and what you agree with or disagree with when it comes to voting for a president, usually when you see a group of literal white supremacists voting for somebody, you usually vote for the other person. Any other person. You don't vote for the person that is literally white supremacy. That's the definition of racism. Got more celebrity, you know, stuff. Aaron Sorkin, and I'm actually about to go watch The Social Network, because one of the guys who's going to be on Trump's transition team is Peter Thiel. I know I talked about this before. Peter Thiel is a stock guy. He's a Wall Street guy, but he's not on Wall Street. He's in California. He's a Silicon Valley guy, whatever. He's got tons of money. He's the guy that backed Hulk Hogan's lawsuit. He's the guy who helped Mark Zuckerberg get into Facebook stocks. Helped Mark Zuckerberg become the biggest millionaire in the world. Helped Facebook, you know. He is establishment. These people, it's not like, but anyway, usually I don't go with the white supremacists. Aaron Sorkin wrote a letter to his daughter. His 15-year-old daughter's name is Roxy, and her mother, Julia. Sorkin girls, well, the world changed late last night in a way that I couldn't possibly protect us from. That's a terrible feeling for a father. I won't sugarcoat it. This is truly horrible. It's hardly the first time my candidate didn't win. In fact, it's the sixth time. But it is the first time that a thoroughly incompetent pig with dangerous ideas, a serious psychiatric disorder, no knowledge of the world, and no curiosity to learn has. And it wasn't just Donald Trump who won last night. It was his supporters, too. The Klan won last night. White nationalists, sexist, racist, buffoons. Angry young white men who think rap music and Cinco de Mayo are a threat to their way of life, or the reason that for their way of life, who have been given no cause to celebrate. Men who have no right to call themselves that, who think that women aspire to be to more than, and who think that women who aspire to more than looking hot are shrill, ugly, and otherwise worthy of our scorn, rather than admiration, struck a blow for misogynistic shitheads everywhere. Hold on, I clicked off it. Misogynistic shitheads everywhere. Damn. Misogynistic shitheads everywhere. Hate was given hope. Abject dumbness was glamorized as being the fresh voice of an outsider who's going to shake things up. Did anyone bother to ask how? Is he going to rearrange the chairs in the Roosevelt Room? For the next 4 years, the President of the United States, the same office held by Washington and Jefferson, Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, JFK, and Barack Obama, will be held by a man-boy who'll spend his hours enacting Twitter vengeance against all who criticize him, and those numbers will be legion. We've embarrassed ourselves in front of our children of the world. And the world took no time to react. The Dow futures dropped 700 points overnight. Economists are predicting a deep and prolonged recession. Our NATO allies are in a state of legitimate fear. And speaking of fear, Muslim Americans, Mexican Americans, and African Americans are shaking in their shoes. And we'd be right to note that many of Donald Trump's fans are not fans of Jews. On the other hand, there is a party going on at ISIS headquarters. What we wouldn't give to trade this small fraction of a man for Richard Nixon right now. Which is crazy, by the way. So what do? First of all, we remember that we're not alone. 100 million people in America and 1 billion around the world more feel exactly the same way we do. Second, we get out of bed. The Trumpsters want to see people like us, Jewish, coastal elites, educated, socially progressive, Hollywood, sobbing and wailing and talking about moving to Canada. I won't give that to them, and neither will you. Here's what we'll do. We'll fucking fight. Roxy, there's a time for this kind of language, and it's now. He put that in parentheses. We're not powerless, and we're not voiceless. We don't have majorities in the House or the Senate, but we do have representatives there. It's also good to remember that most members of Trump's own party feel exactly the same way about him that we do. We make sure that the people we sent to Washington, including Kamala Harris, take our strength with them and never take a day off. We get involved. We do what we can to fight any injustice anywhere we see it. Whether it's writing a check or rolling up our sleeves, our family is fairly insulated from the effects of a Trump presidency. So we fight for the families that aren't. We fight for a woman to keep her right to choose. We fight for the First Amendment, and we fight mostly for equality. Not for a guarantee of equal outcomes, but for equal opportunities. We stand up. America didn't stop being America last night, and we didn't stop being Americans. Here's the thing about Americans. Our darkest days have always, always been followed by our finest hours. Roxy, I know my predictions have let you down in the past, but personally, I don't think this guy can make it a year without committing an impeachable crime. If he does manage to be a douche nozzle without breaking the law for 4 years, we'll make it through those 4 years. And 3 years from now, we'll fight like hell for our candidate, and we'll win, and they'll lose, and this time they'll lose for good. Honey, it'll be your first vote. The battle isn't over. It's just begun. Grandpa fought in World War II, and when he came home this country handed him an opportunity to make a great life for his family. I will not hand his granddaughter a country shaped by hateful and stupid men. Your tears last night woke me up, and I'll never go to sleep on you again. Love, Dad. So that's Aaron Sorkin writing a letter to his daughter night after the election. And again, like, it's another thing when Trump supporters start telling me when our president starts telling me things just the hatred can't be. There was a guy that got beat up in Chicago, and people were passing by watching him get beat up, and they said, you voted for Hillary, and they let him get beat up. Like, that's the world we live in. We live in a world full of hate. And there's another article in the Washington Post that I'm not going to read, but the headline says, analysis, no one has a clue what kind of president Donald Trump would be. That's right. That's why you don't elect that guy. So folks, we need to band together. You and me and you, together, as Americans, people of color, people of minorities, transgender people, gay people, straight people, every people. Because Trump supporters tell me to be respectful to the president-elect after witnessing them 8 years of tearing down Barack Obama, 2 years of slandering Bernie Sanders, 30 years of bashing Hillary Clinton, all while referring to us as libtards. Or else I'm a hypocrite, they tell me. Might want to check your timeline, guys. And again, anybody who thinks that Donald Trump is the answer for America, I will just say that education is the most powerful weapon for changing the world, and you people exercised none of that. It works both ways. Education can change the world positively. Non-education, it's not good. It's not good for this country. And what has happened to America is a sad state of affairs. And the most surprised person of all that Donald Trump is the president is Donald Trump. He's over there asking them if he doesn't have to sleep in the White House. He doesn't want to sleep in the White House. He says, he's saying realistically, how many nights do I have to stay here? He doesn't want to be president. And his vice president thinks that you can electrocute gay people into being straight. Now, it doesn't matter how you feel about gay people. You know that that's something stupid. And on the last podcast, I didn't even talk about the planet. The planet, which is deteriorating, and if you don't believe me, when it's 70 degrees on Christmas, you will believe me. The planet that's deteriorating because of climate change, because we're not making the right choices with our energy sources. Because we're not making the right decisions, we're not recycling properly. This planet is dying, and our president-elect, your president-elect, because he's not my president, hashtag not my president, part two. He thinks that global warming is a scam made up by the Chinese. That's not rhetoric. That's what he thinks it is. He thinks it's made up by Chinese people. For what reason, I don't know. Maybe because Hillary and Benghazi. That's his answer to everything. Also, on that 60 Minutes interview where he said he's keeping Obamacare, he also said that Hillary Clinton was a strong candidate, and he commended her. Why? I thought she was going to jail. That's what you said. So that's three things that aren't happening. Hillary's not going to jail. You're not building a wall, and we're still going to have the Affordable Care Act. So you're a racist and a liar. Or a politician. Welcome to Trump land, folks, where Roe v. Wade is in trouble. Roe v. Wade. Because here's the thing. He's going to appoint a Supreme Court justice that is going to be highly Republican. That is true. Conservative values. That is true. But there's three other Supreme Court justices that are 80 years old already. He could, by the end of his presidency, even if he is proven, which he probably will be, the worst president of all time. Well, he won't be my president, but he's your president. He will appoint multiple Supreme Court justices that will overturn things like Roe v. Wade, women's rights, gay marriage. All of that is on the table. All of that could be gone. Meanwhile, and it's not like you're trading that stuff for policies that you wanted to happen, because the policies you wanted to happen already aren't happening because he said they're not happening. I don't get it. I feel sick every single morning I wake up. This is not a land I can live in. Does anyone have any answers? I don't have any answers. I can't figure it out. For the life of me, I don't get it. I don't know how I'm going to live. I'm already sitting out the Pledge of Allegiance. I work at a school. They do the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm sitting it out. I'm Kaepernicking it. I'll stand up for the prayers, but exercising my right. I don't want to live in a country that's fueled on hate. I don't want to live in a country that's fueled on misogyny. I hate guns and I love women. And I love women's rights. and I think that they should have the most of them. And I'm sorry that I feel that women are equal to men. And I'm sorry that I feel that people of color are equal to white people. I'm sorry. Those are just opinions that I have. The stocks in private prisons rose to the highest they've ever been. Private prisons. Think about that for a second. The private prison system... That's a tongue twister. You have to admit that is a tongue twister. The private prison system is only profitable. One of its main points that keeps it profitable in the campaign, in its booklet, and it's how this works, is recidivism. Recidivism is when people leave jail and commit crimes and come back. So therefore, private prisons are prisons that have no intention about on rehabilitating criminals and making them okay to go back out in society and no longer commit crimes. Private prisons are there to house people for considerable amounts of time just because. They don't want to hurt, they don't want to cure anybody, they don't want to make anybody better. They want criminals to be back out in the world and to commit crimes as quickly as possible so they can be brought back into prison because they make money. The private prison system, their stocks skyrocketed the day after this happened. Why? Because they're going to get full. You people think it's a game. It's not. It's going to look like Ferguson. I know I said that last week. It's going to look like Ferguson in this fucking joint. Damn it. I don't think I cursed. Doesn't matter. The end is nigh. The end is nigh anyway. And not only that, like, not only am I ashamed to be an American, not only have I never been more ashamed to be American, but Britain gave you, the United Kingdom gave you a preview of this with Brexit. That was a preview. That was the same thing. It was the rise of racism. They voted that, they did that stupid thing over there. We sat here and said, wow, that's dumb. It's like that meme where, like, it says, Europe, wow, Brexit was the stupidest thing ever. And the United States goes, yeah, hold my beer. You know, like, we'll top that. The president-elect of the United States is in the WWE Hall of Fame. The president-elect of the United States is in the WWE Hall of Fame. Does anyone else think that that's weird? I mean, maybe, I mean, listen, it's as weird as living by a document, the Constitution, that was written over 200 years ago. It's just as weird as going by that word for word. It's just as odd as doing that. An archaic system that was created by rich white people who owned slaves. But hey, listen, you know? I mean, this is the America that you wanted. Now you will see it at its ugliest. And I will spend every available moment of my time making it known to you, to everybody, that this is not my president. Where's his birth certificate? He's a liar. He's establishment. And he's not going to drain the swamp when he's surrounding himself with swamp people. Again, if a restaurant is being run poorly, you don't fire the entire staff and bring in a bunch of people who used to work at a bank. That's not how business works. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. And you can try all you want. Try to give me the silver lining. Try to tell me crooked Hillary this, crooked Hillary that. It's not about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, I will admit, was the worst candidate. She would have been a fantastic president, but she's a terrible candidate because people hate her. And that's how it is. That's just the facts. That has nothing to do with her ability to do... That's like... if somebody's good at doing the job, but they can't get the job and they can't pass the job interview. You know what I mean? She's not personable. That's why she goes on listening tours, because she doesn't have to talk. She listens. Bernie Sanders wouldn't have been president. And for the people that are Trump supporters who comment on my Facebook shit, and then they tell me things like, and when I shoot them down about Trump, after I prove my point that, because, you know, they want you to say that you don't like Trump because he's a racist. That's what they want you to say, because then they'll just say, oh, it's always that. So I give them, you know, what I just spent a half hour telling you about. I hate guns. I love women. I love minorities. These are things that Trump doesn't. You know what I mean? So those are the policies that I like, that I disagree with on Trump's part. So after I say that, and I prove to them that it has more than just the racism and the misogyny, which is a disqualifying factor as it is, once I say that, they tell me, well, I wanted Bernie to be president. What do you say about that? And I say that's something people say to deflect from the fact that they support a fascist. Because that's what it is. There's no way Bernie Sanders would have been president. Stop that theory. He didn't get more votes in the Democratic primaries than Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton's one of the worst candidates of all time. It's impossible. Think a socialist was going to be president, giving away free stuff? There's no way that would have happened. There's no chance. It would have been the same thing, the same momentum. FBI didn't cost Hillary this election. Fucking racism did. That's all it is. All it is racism and misogyny running wild in this country. And again, like I stated at the top, it's gonna get ugly around here. So, if you support me, support me. Give me a like. Shoot me a message. Tell me, Jay, you're right. If you want to troll me, get out of my life. Because I don't need that. This isn't about... I'm not hearing the other side of this. Because for 8 years, Republicans didn't hear... They walked around with no Obama t-shirts. And I've never heard the N-word used more often when talking about the President of the United States before. Well, unless you watch that JFK movie when they killed Kennedy. But that's set in the past. Anyway. I just can't. So again, like, despondence. That's how I really feel. Like, I can't even... It's tough to find a reason to do anything anymore. But I know I have to. Because that's the only way that we have a chance. The only way we have a chance of taking our country back for real in 4 years is if we get up and we fight. Together. As Democrats, as Republicans, as libertarians, as Americans against fascism, Americans against racism, Americans against misogyny, Americans who just want to hold hands and love one another. Because that's all I want to do. And nobody in my eyes is any sort of a threat to me until they prove to be so. Not through any color of any skin. Not through any relation to any family. None of that. I love you until you give me a reason not to. And if you voted for Trump, or if you think that he's a good thing for America, well, I think you just gave me a reason to. Before I get up on out of here, here's a list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business. ConcertConfessions.com for all your live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. Big celebration for Trump's victory going on at Concert Confessions headquarters, that's for sure. Live music news and reviews for the fans by the fans. I'm looking at some shows, trying to get to some shows. I do have some things in mind. Just keep it locked. Stuff will happen. Also, we got Dare Network. You go to andydare.com. That's where you get all your Dare Network podcasting needs, whether that's the Tyler Care, whether that's... what is it? It's Jesse Unplugged. It's the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Parks podcast. It's Spin Class with Tyler and Andy. And it's the flagship show, The Andy Dare Show. All located at andydare.com. Also, go to christinarocks.com. Hang the DJ, 89xradio.com, every Sunday morning. Throwback alternative. I like to throw back to a time where, you know, this wasn't where our country was. Every Sunday morning, 89xradio.com. Tweet at her, tell her that I miss her, and I'd like for her to come on the podcast sometime and talk me off the ledge. And also, every week, your headlines, when there is some, if there is any, ever, are powered by AntiQuiet. AntiQuiet.com is your source for quality. Until next week, folks. Wacky Weed and Warren Zevon. Late.
This has been the Jay Parks Experience. Thank you so much for listening.